All right, so we are in lesson 9 of our series, Blessed Are the Persecuted. And this is going through the Beatitudes discipleship class with Jesus. We're getting close to the end. There are 11 lessons. And so I'm looking forward as we kind of wrap things out next week, talking about being the salt of the earth. Can you get him a pen, brother? Appreciate that. And being the light of the world. Looking forward to that. Also excited to, after we're done with this series, we're going to begin a series in Working the Field, and I'm not going to tell you because it's top secret information, but next month, so every month we have an emphasis with Work in the Field. January's emphasis was casting the seed, right, and giving out tracts and giving your testimony, and this month our focus is grace and truth, right, and living, being a living testimony, and then also saying our testimony, right, but grace and being a light that way, and so that's exciting, and I'm thankful for that. Plowing the ground that way, we have to plow and everything. But next month we'll have another emphasis, and our Sunday school series will really tie into that. And at that point, also, Lord willing, the discipleship class downstairs will be done. We'll all be in here, and I'm very much looking forward to that. But for today, we'll be back in Matthew chapter 5. So if you would find your place, Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is 3 verses, and so I'm probably going to have to do 2 lessons, okay? An hour is not enough for 3 verses, okay? But that's not why, but just the subject matter at hand, we need that. So probably that's what will happen. If you would, when you find your place in Matthew 5, we'll stand and we'll read. And again, we'll start our reading in verse 1 just to review and remember where we've been and then where we're going. At verse number 10 is our text. All right. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Last week we're in verse 9, which says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And now our text, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, Pastor Chad, we're talking about that on Wednesdays. That's when we talk about persecution, Revelation. Well, actually, it's a theme throughout Scripture. Persecution is part of Christian life. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. That's how we respond to persecution. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So blessed are the persecuted. We'll pray and get into our message this morning. God, thank you again for letting us be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these, your people who gathered to hear your word taught and preached today. Pray that you help us to have hearts that are soft and plowed, even as we're considering this month, and hearts that are ready to hear your word and ready to obey it. Help us, God, to in our hearts be disciples, in our hearts decide to follow you and to think about things the way you have commanded and taught us to, and that's no different when it comes to this area of persecution and suffering. Help us, God, to see it the way you see it and the way that you have us to. I pray that you bless, guide, and direct in all we do. Christ in my pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Introduction, we'll just jump right into it. It says this: the history of Jesus' disciples is replete with accounts of suffering. That's the blank. Suffering, persecution, and martyrdom. And again, if you're here on our Wednesday night series, you know that. We've dealt with that almost every week. And if you're not familiar, where we are on Wednesday nights in Revelation is the letters to the churches that were there. These were churches that existed at the time that the Revelation was written. This would have been toward the end of the first century. And almost all of them, if not all of them, suffered this way. In fact, the ones who suffered, ones who didn't really suffer, were the ones who were compromising. They were the ones who weren't really following Christ. They were the ones who were trying to please the society by compromising what Jesus says. But if you live for Christ as a church, you'll suffer persecution, and the society is not going to be happy with you, and you're going to be called all kinds of names, as Jesus will say here, spoken against falsely and cursed. That was the case for every church in Revelation that was following Christ. But it's still the case, isn't it? And Jesus said that would be the case. And he warned his disciples. He told his disciples about this well before he even left this earth and the church continued on without him. And so he warned us about this. Suffering's a part of it. And by the way, in your own life, the churches will suffer as a corporate body. Church families will suffer. The name of the church will suffer that way, but also just in your individual life. As you're living for Christ, where you are, in your family, if they're unbelievers, at your workplace, wherever you are, if you're living for Christ, you will suffer persecution. Why? Because the world's not excited about it, right? The world is by default at enmity with God. And so listen, mankind, humanity, not just America, not just our society, every single society, even Israel, they were supposed to be for God, but often made themselves an enemy of God, didn't they? Because that's humanity. Humanity has placed themselves at enmity with God. God did not start this. Humanity has done this. They have decided, I don't want to live life God's way. I want to live life my way. And that has made them an enemy of God. And so if we identify with God, if we live the life that God wants us to live, then what has happened is they have then made themselves enemies of us. We understand it's not us that are at enmity with Christ, right? And Jesus said, if they've rejected me, they'll also reject you. Suffering. It's a part of it. And history proved that out. It's replete with suffering and persecution and martyrdom. The story of Jesus' church is written in blood throughout the ages. There's a book out there called Fox's Book of Martyrs. We mentioned it even on Wednesdays as we talked through this. A book that just really delineates much of those stories of martyrdom and suffering and persecution. But that's not the only book. There's other historical accounts full, just chock full of stories in which the humble people of God suffered horrendous forms of persecution. And here's the only reason. It's because they lived the Beatitudes. That's the blank. The Beatitudes. Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. They lived this life that we've been dealing with for these last few months. If you decide to be a Beatitude Christian, it will result in this, in suffering. And there's quote-unquote, the biggest air quotes I can think of, and bolded and underlined and italicized, quotes, Christians. This is not Christianity, but there are people who call themselves Christianity who say, if you follow Jesus, actually all your problems will go away. If you follow Jesus, suffering will be gone. The reason you're suffering is because you don't have enough faith. That's the opposite of the scriptures. And it's called health and wealth prosperity gospel. You follow God, you'll have health throughout your life. You follow God, you'll experience wealth and you'll have a lot of things. You follow God and people will love you. Opposite. The opposite of the truth. If you follow God, here's what's going to come along with that. Persecution. It will be a part of it. What makes it even more difficult, back in our notes, is that we personally know so little of strong persecution. Here in America, we've been an anomaly, really, for the last 250 years. Read verses 10 and 12 again. We'll read them again. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. And so this happened. The prophets were persecuted before Christ ever set foot on this earth, physically this way. Jesus' disciples were persecuted while he was on this earth. And here we are today, following Christ, thousands of years later, and still in this place. But as Americans, we've been blessed to live in America and enjoy the freedoms and the fruit of men who fought and died for it. But if you read it again, the text does not say this: blessed are they who live in a free and easy country and know nothing of persecution. And we do say, and I do, to a level, I agree with this. We're blessed to be Americans. And we are blessed, in a sense, to not suffer persecution. But that's not what Jesus said here, is it? He said, blessed are they that do suffer. You see? Here's what I'm saying. If America ever goes topsy-turvy, which it seems in a lot of ways is in that, go ahead in that way, we have not lost our blessedness. We ought not get so stressed out about the way society is going. Because even when we're persecuted, we're blessed. Are you following this? Now, I would rather it not go that way. I would sure like to not have my head chopped off like a lot of people have, or burnt at the stake, or whatever. I would sure appreciate if I didn't have to do that. But what I am saying is, I'm concerned as a pastor and seeing Christians today getting so wound up about the politics that they feel that if America goes south, then everything is terrible. Like, forget it. It's all over. No. For the history of Christianity, Christians have lived in societies that way. And we'll be okay. Because this whole thing is not about who gets in a political office. This whole thing is not about what the law says. This whole thing is about what Jesus has said, and we can follow him. And no matter where our society ends up, we will be blessed. You see? Blessed. It says, Jesus, in the middle of this paragraph, he says, no, that's not what Jesus says. It says, we are blessed when we are persecuted, reviled, and are evil spoken of. Again, as we learned at the beginning of this series, the Sermon on the Mount runs totally contrary, that's the blank, totally contrary to normal thinking and worldly logic. Contrary is the blank there. So just think about it. Each beatitude lived will bring blessedness. And it appears that this is the way to live. If you follow Christ, it's the way to find blessedness in your life. Just follow Jesus' words, and then you'll enjoy yourself and have a great life in this world, right? Well, yes. Fundamentally, yes. If you're thinking right, yes. If you agree with Jesus about what blessedness is, then yes. But if you live the Beatitudes, you also, that's the blank, you will also be persecuted. You will be blessed, but you will suffer. And in our minds, we're like, that doesn't add up. Well, that's because you're thinking like humanity, like our society thinks, not the way Jesus thinks, right? If you follow the Beatitudes, here's what will happen. You'll be persecuted, you'll be reviled, you'll have all manner of evil spoken against you. And you say, what? I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be reviled. I don't want to be evil spoken of. But listen, that is a blessed condition. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. So probably next week we'll have half the crowd here. But I am saying this is not the message to get a chock full auditorium. We're not going to put a Facebook post out there. At least we might. But the mega churches, the ones who are just wanting to please society and get a pact, they don't put this verse. If you follow Christ, you'll be persecuted. If you follow Christ, people will hate you. If you follow Christ, you're going to get attacked. They don't put that out there. This isn't how we pack out an auditorium. But we're not. But here's the thing. We're not interested in that, are we? We're interested in following Christ. We're interested in reaching people and helping them become disciples of Christ, not just reaching people for the sake of having bodies. Are you following me? This is the thinking of Christ. This is the life of a disciple. And if we again, all of these Beatitudes are this way, as we've said over and over, if we come at this with the idea that Jesus is right and it doesn't matter how I feel, but then you just listen to what Jesus is saying and think about it logically and reasonably, but without our own opinions in the matter, you'll find it's true. This is a blessed condition. We'll see that today, and we'll see that next week. Number one, the true disciple of Jesus, here's the blank, will know persecution from this world. Again, we need to pay very close attention to the wording here. It does not read, blessed are ye if men should, blank, if men should happen to persecute you and revile you. If you ever find yourself in a place where you're being persecuted, then you'll be blessed. That's not what he said. It reads this way. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. It will happen if you're following Christ. It will. Here's a few verses that really verify that, say the same thing. John 15, 18 through 20. And again, I want to take our time with this, so let's go ahead and turn to these passages. Go to John 15, if you wouldn't mind. So we're in Matthew now. Go to Mark, Luke, and then John. Verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15. These are Jesus' words to his disciples, some of his very last words before he dies on the cross. Verse 15, chapter 15, the beginning, talks about the vine and the branches, and we like to think about that quite a bit. And he is the vine, we are the branches, we need to abide in him, abide in his love, and all of that is good, awesome. We love that. But oftentimes we stop at verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another, and then we kind of speed read through 18 through 20. But this is just as much Jesus' words as the rest. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. And then by implication, obviously, to us. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. And by the way, that's remember the big, huge, quoted Christians that we talked about? The world does love that Christianity. The world does love that music. The world does love that ministry philosophy. The world does love that because it is of their own. And if you research it out, contemporary Christianity as a movement has stated their goal as this. We want to be like them so we can reach them. That's not how we reach people. You see? Jesus says, if you were of the world, if you were like them, then they'll accept you. But this is not a good thing that Jesus is saying here, is he? No. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We need to be careful if we're the popular church and if all the world loves what we're doing. Because usually that's an indication we're not doing what Jesus told us to do. Because if we're following Christ, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will. See that? Again, it's not that maybe they will. It says they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So here's the thing. We don't need to go out there and make enemies out of the world. We don't need to go out there. Here's what Jesus is not saying. If the world hates you, automatically that means good. Because there are some churches out there who set out to be just mean. Right? And you set out to make the society mad. And they'll go out there and picket, and they'll go out there and yell at the world and scream at them and do everything they can to get the world to hate them. That is not what we're talking about here. But we do need to not be so concerned if they don't like it. Are you following? We follow Christ. If you just follow Jesus, then here's what will happen. The world's going to hate you. You see? You just follow Jesus. It's going to happen. Well, what do? Well, we keep loving them, right? We still love the world. We still minister to the world. That's what Jesus did, right? When they hated Jesus, did he revile again? No. What does 1 Peter say? He reviled not again. When they threatened, did he threaten back? No. He loved them back. And we keep loving the world. But I'm telling you, grace and truth, right? If there's truth, there's going to be cutting. And they're not going to appreciate it all the time, but we still just be gracious. Are you following me? Are you seeing this? So, anyways, that's how it works. That's what John 15, 18 through 20 says. That's what Jesus said all throughout his ministry. Jesus told us the world would think no more of us than it did of him. This man, John Flavel, love that name, Flavel, he said this, who was more innocent than Christ? Who was more kind? Who was more compassionate than Jesus? Nobody. And by the way, we ought to emulate that part of Christ too, the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the grace part of Christ. As much as we emulate, we said it right, as much as we emulate the truth, we ought to emulate the grace. And Jesus was the kindest man there was. But who was more persecuted than Christ? Nobody. Right? And so the world is still the world. The world is the world still. They will persecute those who tell them the truth, no matter how kind we are about it. There's a level of persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Romans 8, 16 through 17. To suffer together with, for Christ, to be glorified together with him. Let's just read it. I want to be as crystal clear about this as possible. So go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. This is very important for our church to understand. And again, if you're here on Wednesdays, then you know that, right? As we dealt with the church at Pergamos, as we dealt with the church at Thyatira, these are the churches that didn't like the persecution part and were doing what they can to please the society. And you cannot please the society and not compromise. It's impossible to do both because the world persecutes Christianity, truth of Christianity. And so we need to get a good hold of this as a church family. And this month even, and I didn't plan all this out, it's just the way it worked out, and God knows. But this month, as we're dealing with grace and truth, as we are focused, hyper-focused on our spirit, right, and on our grace, and being gracious toward the world, and being kind, we can't jump so far on the grace side that we forget the truth side, right? And we're, as we be kind to those with the gospel, and we might expect that as we are that way, as we are gracious, that they'll receive it and love us back. But here's what you're going to find. As you're gracious, as you give the gospel and are gracious, as you're full of grace and truth, you're pouring your heart out for these people, and here's what's going to happen. You need to be ready for this. There's still a good chance they're going to reject you and treat you poorly. That's what they did to Jesus, right? And we're not greater than our Lord. And so we have to be ready for this and understand this and not allow for this to hinder our grace toward the world. As the world rejects and as the world persecutes, we can't allow that to make us say, you know what, then fine. They don't want it, I'm not going to give it to them. Well, that's not the Christian message. They don't want it, but we need to still give it to them. You see? They didn't want Jesus, but he came. Aren't you glad that whenever they rejected him, he didn't just go right back to heaven? He stayed here and finished it out, didn't he? And he died on the cross. Again, we've said it before, but if Jesus' message, if he preached the way contemporary Christianity today preaches, and they sang the way that they sing today, and if they lived the way that contemporary Christianity lives today, if Jesus did that, they would not have killed him on the cross. They would not have. They would have accepted him and loved him. But Christianity is opposite of the world. So, chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And that sounds good. We're heirs of Christ. Joint heirs of Jesus. And we sing that, woo! And that's something to get pumped about. But let's make sure we understand what else we're heirs with. He says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we what? Suffer. Suffer with him. That we may also be glorified together. hey, we are joint heirs with Christ. We do get access to the Father's house, don't we? And that's awesome. We're heirs with Jesus. But we don't get to choose that part but then not choose the suffering part. If we identify with Christ, we'll suffer first, then be glorified. Isn't that what Jesus did? He suffered first and then was glorified. Okay. Yeah. 1 Peter 4. Turn toward the end of your Bible. Toward the end, 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Toward the very end. Revelation, you're too far, but not much too far. Right before Revelation. There's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Before that, 1 Peter and 2nd Peter. I want us to lay our eyes on these verses. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Peter says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." And we've preached in First Peter before, so many of you maybe are aware of this, but the people Peter is writing to are being persecuted. They're the ones that in Acts 8 that were persecuted and scattered because of that persecution. They were trying to live for Christ. There was that church in Jerusalem that was just growing and doing everything God wanted them to do. They were reaching people. They were doing it. And because they were following Christ, persecution came. And they're suffering. And these people are scattered away from their home, away from their family, on these foreign lands. And Peter says, hey, this is not strange. This is the way it is for Christians. It's not strange. As though some strange thing is happening. Don't think that way. You need to understand this is the way Christianity is. And we have two options. We can get all upset about that, or we can accept it for what it is and realize, as Jesus is going to say today, that life is actually a blessed life. And that's what we're considering today. You see? But it's not a strange thing when we're persecuted. You see, back to our notes, it will be a fact of life for those who will follow Jesus, suffering, persecution. Under that, number one, it cannot be avoided. That's the blank. It cannot be avoided. By the way, that's not really entirely true. It can be avoided. The only way it can be avoided, though, is for you to stop living for Christ. You see? It should not be ignored. Number two on our notes, second page there, study it out. The prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, Jesus himself were all persecuted. And so who do we think we are that we wouldn't then be persecuted? And to say things, and maybe even just to think things like, this isn't fair that I should suffer. Well, we all do. And Jesus himself did. And Christians throughout the centuries have. So letter C is, here's the question, then why? Why is it so? We've already said this, but John 15:21. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. Here's why they reject you. It's because they've rejected Christ. And if they have rejected Christ, and you are like Christ, they will reject you. But if you're like the world, they will accept you. It's just, be careful when Christians become like loved by everybody and are on the face of cable news and all over the place. That most of the time means there is a compromise. Most of the time. Not every time, but most of the time. Number two, we are walking on a higher road. That's the blank. And this isn't like a arrogant thing, all right? Like, we're better than them. No, actually, we're nothing. But Jesus has called us to live on a higher road. Verse 10, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have walked where the world walks, and we understand them. We know, hey, we can't get mad at the world for this because we were there, weren't we? We were there. And we understand they're sinners, and we ought not get upset when sinners sin. Such were some of you. Such were all of us. We were all involved with sin at one point, and we understand them. But here's the thing is, they have not walked where we walk, and so they do not understand us, you see? And the way we live and how we follow Christ, it doesn't register in their mind. Number three, we are the stranger. That's the blank. We are the stranger. This is not our world. This is not our home. I like how it says in our notes, the world has the home field advantage. This is their turf. And we're not living in their turf the way they have told us to. And so they're going to be upset about it. And that's okay. We just have to understand it. We are away from home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. I love that song. We're just a passing through. We're citizens of America, yeah, but more than that, we're citizens of a far greater country. We're citizens of heaven. And no matter what society says, we're going to live according to the dictates of our native world, which is heaven, right? When you get saved, you become instantly a citizen of heaven, and you become a stranger and a pilgrim in a foreign land. Yeah. We're far from home. Letter D, verse 11, talks about what kind of persecution it's going to be. And we'll probably deal with this, and we'll start to look into response, because what I don't want to do is just, here's the thing, right now it feels like, man, Pastor, this is a bummer. Did you bring us here to make us all terrible, sad, and no? But this is, we have to understand this part before we can understand how to properly respond, right? Proverbs, if you read your Proverb of the Day today, you read this, that he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is foolishness and folly unto him. See? And so we have to fully understand this matter here before we can properly respond to it. And you know, here's the thing. Christianity, who does what they've done and what we've talked about, I'm not here to say like they're evil, they hate God, they don't want to follow God. No, actually, I believe them when they say, we're doing this for God. We're you know, getting the tattoos and the crazy hair and we're, you know, doing everything we're doing and rocking out, and we're doing that because we love the Lord. And I believe them. It's just the problem is they don't fully understand this. They don't understand this. And they're responding to the world's hatred of their living before they understand what's really happening. Are you following? We need to understand this and get it ingrained in us. And then we can respond properly, which we will. So we'll deal with that a little bit today. But first, let's focus on verse 11. So back to Matthew 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11. We'll take this piece by piece. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. So this is the first way that this persecution looks. And so the blank there is reviled in our notes. Reviled. R-E-V-I-L-E-D. Reviled means to be railed on. It means to be reproached. Blasphemed. It has a lot to do with what they say about us. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 10. Now, maybe some of these, we won't turn to all of them, but David was reviled by Shimei. Did not like David. And he spoke against him. We're here in Matthew. You can go to Matthew 27, and we'll see what they said to Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 39. So this is when Jesus is hanging on the cross. And again, you want to be joined with Christ. This is part of it, right? And here's what happened, verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And they reviled him and they mocked him. Does that sound familiar? Oh, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, you must be better than us. Right? Things like that. We'll get that. We will. And it's okay. Right? We ought not be upset about that. It's going to be a part of it. It's going to be a part of it. Reviled, railed on, reproached, blasphemed. You may have heard statements such as this here in our notes. Hey, don't tell a joke. Holy Joe is here. Here's the Christian. Let's all act like, let's get our halos on, you know. Or, oh no, you can't go to the lake. You have to go to church like a good little Christian. That your pastor's got you right where he wants you, don't he? That kind of thing. We got to go enjoy your cult service. We're going to go have fun. Things like that are going to be said. And by the way, if these have not been said, really they should be said. Your family that is not believing Christ should say things like this. Now we don't, you know what I mean. These are conversations that Christians are a part of. Why? Because not because your family who's lost is just overtly wicked or evil and hates God. It's just they don't get it right. They don't understand. Why would you go to church this often? Why wouldn't you do this or that? They don't understand it. They don't understand it. Or this. Oh, I'm sick and tired of you trying to cram your religion down my throat. You think you're so much better than anyone else. And no, that's not the truth. Actually, we live this way because we know we're dirtbags. And we need God's help, you see. But this is the way we'll be spoken of. We will be reviled if we live for Christ. You see? If you live the Beatitudes, you will be reviled. That's the first. Second, back to chapter 5 of Matthew. Verse 11, blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you. So the second is persecute you. Persecuted means to be driven away. That's the blank. Driven away. To try to be rid of. They're going to want for you to leave. Remember last week, or was it last week when we talked about the mania of Gadara? And what did they want? They wanted Jesus to leave. Get out. And if they have treated Jesus that way, and if we live the way Jesus lived, then we also will be wanted to be driven out, you see. Again, David was persecuted because Saul wanted him to be driven from him. Saul hated David, and so Saul persecuted him, tried to get rid of him. The apostles were persecuted as the Jews tried to drive them out of Jerusalem. Have you ever felt that folks did not want your presence simply because of your association with Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt that way? If you have, it hurts and you don't like it, but there is a level where that is actually a good thing. What you're facing is the persecution that Jesus faced. You see? You know, it's not good that they do it. Like, let's not applaud them for it. But that it happens to you is an indicator that you're probably on the right track. See? And the last thing he says in verse 12 is this, or verse 11. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They'll lie about you. They'll tear your characters through the mud. Paul in the book of Acts is a classic example of that. You just read Acts and you'll see it over and over and over. Oftentimes Paul is writing to the churches, telling them, hey, you know, they're saying this about me, but this is not what I've taught. Or they've said this about me, but that's not the way I've acted. Because that's what happens with Christianity. We get that a lot. We get that a lot. They said he spoke against Moses, spoke against the law of the temple in Jerusalem. None of that was true. They said he was persecuted, as were Jesus and others. And so here's what we're saying. Expect persecution. I hope that's crystal clear this morning. Expect it. Expect it. Number two, we'll be done. We'll just do the first part of number two. The condition of the persecuted and the proper response. Blank is response. The proper response to it. Verses 10 and 11, we read it. The condition of those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake is this. Here it is. Blessed. If you are going through this, if you are persecuted, if you are reviled, if you are spoken evil against for Jesus' sake, not because you deserve it, not because you're being someone who makes people upset just because of your character and your and the way you're talking to them and your tone. But if you're just trying to live for God and you're trying to do right and you're facing this, here's what you are. Blessed. That's what Jesus said. Blessed is the blank. The world will not tell you that. And neither will most of your friends. And neither will your own flesh. There's a big part of you that's going to hate this part of it. But we don't need to be concerned about what the world says or our friends say or even how we feel. Remember, we put that aside. Our thoughts aren't what's at consideration here. It's what Jesus says. But here's what Jesus says. You are blessed. You are. It means that when you stand and commit, when your stand and commitment for Jesus draws persecution, He will see to it that here's what you'll have. Peace and joy and gladness. That's not affected by circumstances. Here's the thing. He gives it. Let's just read this and we'll be done. He gives the blessedness. The blessedness has not come because people are saying this about you. It's not like, here's what you should not expect. Someone talks bad about you and trashes you. You should not expect because of that, be like, thanks. You know, that's not how it's going to work. You're going to hate it. But here's what will happen at the same time, is Jesus will give you blessedness. He will give you peace. He will give you joy even through all of that. He gives it. The blessedness comes from Him. It is there, my friend. What is blessedness? In the midst of all this, and if you're focused so much on how people are mistreating you, then you're going to not have that. But if you're focused on being who Jesus wants you to be, He will bring blessedness. He will bring it to you. The ability to stand in the face of persecution is available to us. And He looks on, and when He sees His own persecution, His own persecuted for Him, here's what He does. He injects blessedness. He injects it. He imputes it. Do you remember Paul and Silas chained to a prison wall? That was the least of their worries. Do you remember how they got there? They were preaching the gospel, trying to be who God wants them to be, trying to reach people for God, work in the field, right? And you know what happened? Leadership came out and beat them to literally the end of their life. They were going to die because they were beaten so severely. And then the authorities step in and save them from dying. And you know how they did it? Taking them to prison. That's how they were saved. And so you can imagine their mangled bodies being chained to a dirty, rotten Roman prison. Not like the prisons today. They weren't watching ESPN or something. They were chained to a wall, broken and beaten. And what did they do? Sang. Right? Sang. Joy. Right? How did that happen? Oh, Jesus gave them it. He gave them a peace that passes understanding. He gave them a joy that can be there no matter what's happening in your life. And they were truly blessed. Blessed. Yeah. Because it comes from Christ. It comes from Christ. And so because of that blessedness, we'll see next time, verse 12. Here's what we're going to be able to do in the midst of that. We're going to be able to rejoice. We're going to be able to be exceeding glad. And we'll explain why that is and how that works next week. But just for today, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know, expect persecution, and then I want you to know this. There is hope here. There is a good side to this, right? There is a good side to this. And you might not be seeing it right now, but I promise you it's there. And next week we'll deal with that. Why is it that we can rejoice and be exceeding glad? And we'll deal with that next week. Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are willing to come and be reviled and persecuted and evil spoken of, even to the point of suffering on the cross and dying for us. Lord, we're just humbled by that reality. And God, we want to be like you. Lord, we want to be Christians. We want to be Christ-like. And Lord, help us to, as we walk that journey and live out these Beatitudes and think the way you've commanded us to think, to be ready to accept and even rejoice in the persecution that we'll face. And in that, Lord, help us to continue to love this world. Help us to refuse to compromise and become like the world, but Lord, to follow you faithfully and then reach the world. And as we stand outside of this world, Help us to continue to be faithful, to work the field, and as you did, call men out of this world into your way, and to live life the way you commanded it. Well, we love you. Christ, and I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We're going to